Proverbs chapter 3, I want you to find verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9. Stand with me if you would real quickly. I'm going to read a handful of scriptures to you. And we're going to read from verse 9 all the way down to verse number 12. It says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." And let's pray. Father, take what's said tonight and help us all to be better because of it. Help us to learn. I pray that we'd be challenged. I pray, God, that not only would our minds be filled, but might our lives be filled with the truth, and might we live it. Now, help us all to pay attention. Help me to teach right, and help all of us to listen right. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were listening as we read that scripture there, you're going to see some references to what I think is finances or money. And I'm going to point a little bit of out to you there. You look at verse number 9 in Proverbs chapter 3. It says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance." Now, when it's talking about thy substance there, I'm pretty sure that it probably is talking about your money or your income. But if nothing else, it is talking about your money and your income and other things. But it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Now, the first fruits, that means that which comes in first. So when we get a paycheck, before taxes are taken out and before anything else is taken out, that's the first fruits. In the field, the first fruits is when you bring in the very first harvest, what comes in first. And notice, so it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance." That is probably finances. And with the first fruits, and that is probably in reference to finances. And then it says, "All thine increase." And again, I think it's a reference to our money or that which we're bringing in, and not in all eras and not in all cultures would there be money like we use, a $1 bill or a coin like a quarter or 50 cent piece. There were times when they traded and they used gold or silver, and they traded using their flocks or their crops, but it was they still traded. It was used as increase. It would have been first fruits. It would still been their substance, but we deal with money. Now, you go on, and in verse number 10, it says, "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty." It's talking about it being stored up. And then it says, "And thy presses shall burst out with new wine." It says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Now, I don't think there's any mistakes in the Bible. And so God, in verse 9 and 10, he starts talking about money, and he starts talking about the concept of money. And then you go right into verse number 11, and it says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Now, I think God is connecting these things on purpose. He even goes on in verse number 12, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." So I think in verse 9 and 10, there's a lot mentioned about money and storing up money and first fruits and increase. And it's showing when it talks about the presses are bursting out, that's blessing. Then he talks about God's correction. He talks about God's chastisement. And then you might say, well, how do those two connect? Well, I think one thing God is telling us, if we don't handle our money right, there's some correction that will take place in our lives. But he tells us in verse number 11 that he chastens because, in verse 12, he says that he chastens because he loves us. He delights in us, and that's why he corrects us. And so, could I say to all of us, I think when a person goes to correct their child, we should do that because we love our children. And the same is true of God. And so, I know what I'm going to do. This evening, I'm going to give you a handful of warning signs that maybe you're not handling your finances right. Warning signs about finances. But before I do that, I got to looking at some funny warning signs, and I'm going to share them with you. That's because the rest of the lesson is not as funny. So laugh at the beginning, I'd recommend it. All right. Hanging at a mall, this warning sign. Unattended children will be given an espresso and a free puppy. That's a good warning. A warning sign hanging near a mental hospital. It's to drivers. It says, never trust someone that is directing traffic in one of our hospital gowns. This sign was hanging at a crocodile park. Warning. Those who throw objects at the crocodiles will be asked to personally retrieve them. There's some warnings you ought to just heed. Amen. This was near an airport. It was an advertising sign. It said, for sale, a parachute, only use once, package never opened. Here's one that is a church sign. And it said, it's like a marquee out in front of someone's church. It said, whoever stole our air conditioning unit can keep it. It's very hot where you're going. Here is one that was posted at a road leading into a village, a little city. It said, drive slow and see our village. Drive fast and see our judge. Speed limit strictly enforced. Here's another that was posted by a Christian man at a fire station. And it said, stop, drop, and roll won't work in hell. This next one is one of my favorite ones. It was at a Dairy Queen. It said, the more you weigh, the harder you are to kidnap. We're just trying to keep you safe. Now, you forgive me. This next one's a little uncouth, but I'm going to use it. This was at a swimming pool, and it said, warning, sharks have been spotted in this swimming pool. They come out when they smell urine. Next, this was a warning sign that was at a zoo. Please be safe. Do not stand, sit, climb, or lean on the animal fences. If you fall in, the animals will eat you, and that might make them sick. Warning signs. The truth is, warning signs are everywhere. As you drive up the road, you'll see all sorts of signage everywhere you go. Now, I'm going to talk to you about some warning signs regarding finances tonight. Now, I would recommend this. I would not judge one another with this lesson. If it applies to you, then you fix you. But I don't think we ought to set in judgment on one another as we learn something like this. So, I want to talk to you about some signals or signs in regard to finances. And it won't be hard to understand, and this will be one of many lessons that I'm going to teach from the Bible about finances. Okay, the first one I want to talk to you about, it's overdue bills. Overdue bills. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28 says this, say not unto thy neighbor, go, and come again tomorrow. I will give thee, or I will give when thou hast it by thee. And what's that talking about is you owe something and you're not paying it. You're trying to put off paying what you owe. Now, all of us need to know this. And for some, maybe you just never heard anybody say this. If you owe someone, you're to pay them on or before the due date. On the due date or before the due date. Overdue bills should haunt you. The Bible's talking about don't pay tomorrow what you owe today. Overdue bills are a bad testimony. I think overdue bills are a bad testimony to your spouse. I think they are to your children. I think they are to the lost. I think they are for the Lord or for the church. Now, I want to explain, people have taken the concept of grace periods and they abuse them terribly. What they will say to you is you owe and you're to pay on the first of the month. But you will be given a grace period and you could pay as late as the 10th of the month. You need to understand it was due on the first of the month. The grace period was there in case of an emergency. And in today's society, they abuse grace periods. Lots of people do. Let grace periods be for emergencies, not they should not be your routine. Now, let me tell you, overdue bills, and okay, if you have an overdue bill, that doesn't make you a terrible criminal, but some people just live there. That's where they are constantly. Well, in many cases, if you have an overdue bill, then there is a late charge. And if there is a late charge, then that adds to your lack of money. And did you know that if you pay a late fee, that does not make up for your lack of character in paying on time? Overdue bills, by the way, start a negative chain reaction for other people. And most people don't get this. If you owe somebody some money and you're to pay him on the first, and you don't, well, wonder if they owe somebody they're supposed to pay on the second, and they were counting on you to give them what you owed them on the first. Well, now you've got a bad testimony with them for paying late. Now they have a bad testimony because of you, because they couldn't pay their debt on the second. But wait a minute. Wonder if the person that was to be paid on the second had a bill due on the third. Do you see the chain reaction of negative? We just think, it just affected me. No, it could affect everybody. You say, well, they've got a lot of money. Somebody else having a lot of money gives you no right to pay them late. You cannot blame your poor character on somebody else's ability to make a few bucks. So, what is a warning signal that you're not handling something right or something's not going right financially? It's overdue bills. Number two, sleepless nights. Sleepless nights. Let me read to you from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 12. The Bible says, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep." I want you to see right off the bat that scripture is telling us something about money affecting sleep. That's obvious. Now, let me explain. Now, you know, sometimes people who are considered rich are just merely people that are in debt up to their eyeballs. You know, there's some people you look at and say, look at how rich they are. Yeah, the bank owns them and everything and this generation and their next generation. You know, people who think they have much but owe much, they probably don't sleep well. You say, look, they've got $1 million worth of property. But if you got $1 million worth of property and you've got $1 million worth of debt, I'm going to guess that person tosses and turns. For your health's sake, handle your money properly. I'm a very practical thinking person and I'm a very practical teaching Bible teacher. I honestly believe that there are people that do not sleep well because they've got their finances in a mess. And might I say, if you're a person of integrity and your finances are a mess, it's probably good that you don't sleep well. And I'm not wishing that upon you. I'm saying at least it bothers you. If you can sleep well when you're not paying your bills like you should, that ought to be a little bit troubling. But you know, and then let's face it, a lack of sleep then is going to affect your health. One of the best sleeping pills on the market is bills paid on time and in full. So, overdue bills. If that's your routine, you need to work on it. Sleepless nights because of not paying your bills and not handling your finances right, I'd be careful. Number three, the constant need to borrow. The constant need to borrow. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 5 and 6 says this, "Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee." Now, let me explain. Borrowing money is not sinful. Now, borrowing money and not paying it back like you should, that's wrong. Borrowing money and paying interest, it's just like renting someone's money. My dad told me when I was young, he said, "Son, there are two kinds of people out there. There are those who borrow and those from whom they borrow. You got to pick which one you want to be." Now, borrowing's not bad, but some people turn it into a bad thing. So I've qualified that borrowing is not a sin, but I've watched people borrow from family and take advantage of them. Let me explain something to you. The word borrow, that's not a permanent term. Borrow means you're giving it back. People play their families. And I don't think that's right. If you told somebody you were going to borrow, then it ought to be paid back. And if you played them because you knew of their generosity and you said, lend me so you could get it, knowing you wouldn't have to pay it back, why don't you just be honest up front? It's going to be really quiet in here, isn't it? Hey, we borrow from families and we abuse it. I beg of you, folks, be careful borrowing from your retirement. Be careful borrowing on your life insurance. Be careful borrowing from one credit card to pay off another credit card to pay off another credit card. You can play leapfrog only so long with your credit before it's going to catch up to you. You borrow money to pay a bill and then borrow money to pay off what you borrowed. Be very, very careful. Be careful taking a bunch of advances on your pay. There's a new app today. I think it's called Earnin. It's where they don't want you to have to wait till payday to get your money. And they're going to figure out a way to give it to you the moment you earn it. That's a part of a characterless society. And sure enough, somebody in here got the Earnin app today and you're mad at me. They sent me and told me that you got it. That's why I'm teaching this. Credit cards in general will destroy you if you're not careful. They can be easy to get, but the interest rates can be outrageous. Home equity loans are not always bad, but you shouldn't be living off of it all the time. You shouldn't be living off of that. You know, your equity, that was supposed to be your bonus. Liens on your property. Just let me tell you something, and you might want to challenge this, but you would be wrong most of the time. You won't borrow your way out of debt. You'll just dig a deeper and deeper hole. You say, well, I know somebody that figured it out. Now, maybe. But rarely. So, if I were watching for warning signs about finances, I would say it's a warning signal. It's a warning sign, like the Crocodile Park. I'd be careful if you have overdue bills. I'd be careful if you're having sleepless nights and tossing and turning because things aren't going right financially. A constant need to borrow. Number four, if you do not enjoy what you have. If you do not enjoy what you have. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says this, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof. But a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. Here's what that verse is telling us. You have been blessed, and God has given you things and blessed you, but you don't really enjoy it. Now, I'm not going to spend a bunch of time talking about covetousness tonight, but folks, explain. Happiness is a choice. You could choose to be happy with what you have. You could choose to be unhappy. It's up to you. You do realize that what you have, somebody else wishes they had it. While you're busy wishing you had something that somebody else has, listen, happiness is a choice. So, this verse is talking about somebody that's been blessed with honor and wealth. And when we say wealth, that does not necessarily mean that they're a multimillionaire. The Bible talks about having food and raiment, being there with content. The word content means, it comes from a Greek word, contento. It means I can hold it together based on what I have. And we have in America far more than what other nations have. But you've been blessed, but you don't enjoy it. You're not joyful about it. You're too busy working night and day to pay for all your stuff, so you don't enjoy your marriage, and you're so busy working night and day to pay all your bills and to pay for all the stuff you had to have. You're not enjoying your kids. You're too stressed from work because you got to pay off all the debts. There are husbands and wives that before you got yourself into financial messes, you used to go on dates and enjoy it. Now there's just stress. You don't enjoy nature. I think it's good for a guy to go out and fish every once in a while, but some of you will never go fishing because you don't have time. You couldn't if you wanted to because you got to work 18 hours a day, 6 days a week, trying to figure out how to pay for all the stuff. There's some that don't even enjoy their food because of their financial dilemma. So, I think one of the signs that we're not doing something right financially is that we don't enjoy what we have. Once again, everybody under the sound of my voice, somebody has it worse than you. And they would give anything to have what you have. And there's somebody that looks at you and they think you are rich. While you're busy looking at somebody else saying, they're richer than me. And it's almost like a dog chasing its tail in the backyard. So, let me go on. Number five, another warning sign. Family problems. Let me read to you from Proverbs 15:27. It says, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Now, however you want to summarize that verse, it kind of doesn't matter to me. I just want you to see it is very clear that gain or finances or greed affects our household. That's the part of the verse that I want you to see. Let me read it. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Financial problems bring family turmoil. I have done thousands and thousands of marital counseling appointments through the years. Almost all the time when husbands and wives are fussing, it has something to do with money. I won't go into who causes what. It's just I can tell you. There are four major causes of marital problems, and one of them is finances. And it is one of those that end up all the way on the top of the list. So this verse is telling us that somehow finances can trouble our house. Husbands fuss with wives and wives with husbands over money. There can be fuss with kids over money. And I tell you, many, many times there are parents that are short or mean with their kids because the parent is under financial stress. So they don't have control of their spirit because mishandling their money or their money struggles are getting to them, and they snap at the children and take it out on the children. There are people in here, and I know you're going to get uncomfortable with me, and you're going to think I'm meddling, but I don't know that this is the case with anybody in here, but I'm going to say it because I think you need to hear it. There are people in this room, you owe your parents money, and you ought to pay them. Your parents are not your bank. I think parents ought to be treated right. That's a part of honor thy father and thy mother. And so, and then, you know, we get so deep in debt and we mess up financially and we don't handle our money right. We don't handle it right in paying our bills. We don't handle it right in spending. We don't handle it right in our giving to the Lord. So we don't have any family time. We're so busy trying to figure out how to scrape up the money to enjoy our house. Can I tell you something? This isn't all about your house. It should be all about your home. And your home is not brick. It's your family. It's people that are important. People are more important than cars. And relationships are more important than big houses. But there are people that are trashing their families over houses, cars, money in the bank, clothes. My, oh my, folks. Don't trade relationships for money. For money. You'd be better off making less and having time for a date with your wife. And you'd be better off making less and having some time with your kids. Not being faithful to God with your tithe will trouble your house. And so, according to that verse, I see there is an association with money, struggles, conflicts that hurt the home. Let me review. I said, number one, overdue bills, consistent overdue bills. Something's not right. Number two, sleepless nights are created because we don't handle our funds right. Then that's going to affect your health. A constant need to borrow. There's something not right there. You don't enjoy what you have. There's something not right there. And that's a part of that's an attitude problem. And some of it, it's an organization problem on how to fix your financial problems. And then family problems are created. Let me go on. Number six, health problems. Health problems. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 13, it says this, "There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches, kept for the owners thereof to their hurt." Now, it's talking about riches, and it's connected to the owner's hurt. I do believe that maybe, as a part of that hurt, it could be physical hurt. Now, just because someone is not well does not mean that they have money problems. That's not that I'm not trying to tell you that. But I will tell you this. You may need to decide, are you doing right financially? Do you do right by God financially? Do you handle your finances in a righteous fashion? Somehow, the Bible says that there are people that have money, but they end up being hurt. Now, when I think of hurt, I think of physical hurt. Maybe people who do not obey God financially, maybe they struggle health wise a little bit more. Now, remember, I've already said I'm not saying that somebody that has poor health is not right with God financially. I am saying you ought to decide if that's your case. Now, and that'll be between you and God. Do you know this? Let me make a better application of it. Deep debt, long hours, not enough sleep, accidents, hurts because of the accidents. If we don't handle our money right, we may wear our bodies out and hurt ourselves because we have to just be so rigorous to pay off all the things for which we have passion. So somehow there's a hurt that can come to us physically if we don't handle our funds right. One of the first statements I made just prior to point number one, I said, I don't think you ought to judge somebody else. I don't think somebody else ought to judge you. But I think every one of us ought to examine ourselves to make sure we are doing right by God. Let me go on. Number seven, lawsuits. Lawsuits. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says this. It says, "Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?" Now, it's talking about going to law. It's talking about lawsuits among Christians. America is lawsuit crazy. Boy, everybody's scared to death of liabilities, and it's just crazy. Why? Well, it's an easy way to make a quick buck. There are people out there cruising, just hoping that there could be a lawsuit brought. I was pulling out of Lowe's the other day, and I was doing everything legal and everything right. There was someone riding a bike in front of me. I stopped because they chose to ride their bike right in front of me, and I stopped so that they would be safe, and they were shaking their bike real hard, saying, and this is what they said, "Come on, hit me. I'll get what you have." And I thought, not if I hit you hard enough. But you know what that person was doing? They were threatening me to harm them so they could turn around and sue me. Now, folks, that's not a Christian way of thinking, even in the slightest. Many of you, a few years back, there was a lady that she bought a hot coffee from McDonald's, and then she burned herself drinking her coffee and sued McDonald's and won. And I mean, she won $1 million. Let me explain something to you. If you buy a hot drink, it could burn your tongue. I learned that when I was a kid. The thought that somebody made $1 million off of burning their tongue on a hot drink, I got a problem with that. There's something not right in our thinking. What is it? It's greed. And you know what? That's not the kind of person that probably wants to get up early in the morning and work late into the evening to earn an income. You can be sure they were looking for an easy ride. Listen, the Bible talks about Christians not taking Christians to lost man's court. And you say, why? Because if one Christian takes another Christian to court, they're going to end up with a lost judge. Now we have a lost man looking at two Christians that can't figure out how to get along, and he's about to make a judgment. Now, I don't want a lost man passing judgment on me, nor my Christian brother. And I'm not here. I don't know of anybody that has any debate with anybody in any lawsuit. I'm not trying to fix anything that's broken. To my knowledge, there's not an issue like that anywhere in this church. But I would tell you, the Bible mentions lawsuits. And if there are lawsuits among Christians, there's something not going right among us or with us in our thinking and in our finances. So, again, I'll remind you. Overdue bills, let it be a warning sign to you. Say, I got to get something fixed. Something's not going right. Sleepless nights over money. I think God wanted you to get a good night's rest. Fix it. Work at it. Figure it out. A constant need to borrow. Not enjoying what you have. Family stresses and problems. Even some health problems. And that health problem thing, I really don't want anybody offended, but I will promise you, if you don't do right by God, there are health issues that can come because of it. Matter of fact, you just look at 1 Corinthians where the Bible talks about taking the Lord's Supper. If you don't do right by God and you take the Lord's Supper, God said you will end up not well. Something will happen. Then the lawsuits. I think that the Bible teaches that when something's not going right financially, we can have an unfruitful spiritual life. An unfruitful spiritual life. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read verse number 22. It says this, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." The riches choke the word. If I may, bad financial practices choke the word. Did you know that when you overspend, you choke some of the Bible influence in your life? You say, what does that mean? Well, you got to work all the time. If you got to work all the time and you can't come to church, you sure have choked the word. If you have to work all the time and therefore you have no time for going soul winning, I guess you're choking the word. Bad finances. Do you understand what the word is? Let me put it this way. Who is the word? Jesus. Something about finances chokes Jesus. And it's not good finances that do it. Something, when we don't handle our finances right, chokes the word. Hey, many, many times people that are not handling themselves right financially, maybe they're not tithing or giving, and that's not the issue of the night. But when they're not handling their finances right, many times they're not winning souls, and they don't have a bus route, and they don't qualify for a leadership position in the church where they could be used in a more powerful way because they've got themselves messed up financially. I have watched some fantastic people that could do fantastic things for God. They just could not handle their finances. They never got it together to where they were used by God. Never did. They were just so busy. They were so messed up. They were so stressed out. They could never be faithful to church, and they therefore did not grow like they could have. And if you really traced it all back, it went back to bad financial practices choked the influence of Christ in their life. And so, the lesson tonight is about those warning signs, those signals that we glance at to help us. So make sure that if you say, boy, that one applies to me, well, work on it then. This isn't a sermon of attack. I really know nobody's financial situation, but I am telling you that Our finances affect us. They affect us spiritually. They affect us emotionally. They affect us physically. And by the way, they affect your home. They affect the house of God. They affect a lot of things. Let me give you another. I'm going to just use the term many losses. Many losses. If you see many losses in life, let me read to you. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 22, it says this. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Haggai chapter 1, verse number 9 says, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house, that it waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Now, here, the Bible is talking about loss, and he was talking about poverty coming. But did you notice he said this? He said, you brought it in, but it's like it got blown upon. It just got blown away. It just went away. In Haggai 1:9, it says, because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. Now, there's a little bit of teaching there that's talking about our homes and our possessions are so important to us, we ignore the house of God. And God's saying that's not good, and it's akin to covetousness. So, not doing right with our money, believe it or not, can cause losses in life. I think us Christians, God has a certain insurance policy on us, and He helps to cover breakdowns. But we need to make sure that we're paying our premium. You say, well, what's that premium? It's doing right financially. It's not just giving to the church. It's not just tithing or giving offerings. I think it is doing right even in the community and with your finances and being honest and decent. I think most of us believe the Bible where it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I do believe if we do right by people financially, then I think there will be an exchange, and I think that we'll receive right. When you don't do right with your money, I think you can have more breakdowns in life. You'll have more losses. Do you know that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and they did not have to buy new shoes? Do you know what that was? That was some insurance that God put on their shoes. Now, you think about it. 40 years and they didn't have to get new shoes. And you say, well, that's not true. Oh, yeah, it's true. It's in the Bible. What had happened, I think God protected them. Now, we are all going to suffer loss. We are all going to go through hardship. I'm not passing judgment on anybody, nor should anybody else. But I will tell you this. If you don't do right financially, you will suffer loss. That's just all there is to it. And we will talk in weeks to come. We're going to talk a lot about what does the Bible teach about all this. But I would say to you, maybe you've heard the joke. There's a couple fellas that went down to the hospital to visit somebody, and the guy that was laying in the hospital was all bandaged up. And boy, they went in, they prayed with him, they were walking out, and the deacon said to the pastor as they were walking out of the hospital, said, "What in the world is Brother Roger in there for?" And the pastor said, "I think he's having his tithes removed." Let me tell you all something. You cheat God, you're making a big mistake financially. I remember someone said to a man, I'm not sure that I can afford to do right by God financially. And the other person said to them, you can't afford not to. The God who gives us all is the one that we want to be good to. Now, this lesson is really, it's not about tithing. And that's not its intent. I'm just saying that the Bible gives us some warning signals. God tells us there's some things, and if we see these in our lives, we might want to shore up our finances. We might want to figure out what's not going right. Overdue bills, that's not good. It needs to be fixed. Tossing and turning and not being able to sleep because of a mess financially. Constant borrowing. And remember, borrowing's not a sin. But borrowing is not to be a way of life. It is not how you're supposed to keep your head above water. Not enjoying what you have. Family stresses. And they're probably under the sound of my voice, people that fussed about money this week in their home. God says you want to get that under control. Watch out. It'll affect your health. Watch out. Lawsuits are something that God warns us as Christians not to get involved in. Having an unfruitful spiritual life. And I've watched many people that could have done great things for God, but they had such a mess on their hands financially, they never did do anything for God. Then just losses in life. And again, I can't judge yours. You shouldn't judge mine. But we should all take a good long look at ours. Let me teach you something that you'll hear me say over the next many weeks, probably many times. Lots of people think that they know how to fix financial problems. Let me explain something to you. There's only a couple ways to fix a problem. You have to either increase your income or you must decrease your outgo. Now, if you want, you can go take some seminar and pay $400 or $500 to set and a guy in a $2,000 suit can teach you how to straighten out your finances. But bottom line is you either have to increase your income or decrease your outgo. And here's what we're supposed to do. We're to live within our means. This is not a let's keep up with the Joneses type thing. Live within your means. You say, what does that mean? You shouldn't spend what you don't have. That's the way to help yourself. The biggest problem with finances is organization and self-control. Most people will not control themselves. And then they won't organize. I wonder how many people have come to me to get some help with their finances, and we begin to organize their finances, and we look at what's going out, and we look at what's coming in, and the truth is they have enough. They just don't keep track of what they're doing. So I hope tonight, the first challenge, the first thought, the warning signs that there's something that's not quite right with our finances.